From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Angry Admins Podcast. It is April the 15th, and this is episode 66. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby. We're back in action, finally.
Yes, we're having some spotty performance the last few months.
Yeah, I had some family in town, and I was pretty busy just relaxing, doing nothing. So
right.
We took another week off.
Well, you know, we do have day jobs, and we get tired and sleepy and busy and all those things that...
That's true.
All other IT professionals get.
Yes.
So, in the news this week, what have we?
Well, first big news this week is Mr. Joe Bibby is now on the Twitter.
Oh,
I am
great.
Tweeting on the Twitter. I am Twitterated.
I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah. So, I finally gave in. This was yesterday because I keep hearing about it and I keep avoiding it because I don't like it, but... if you want to follow me, I am at twitter.com/bibz, B-I-B-Z. And yeah, I'll be trying it out. I'm trying out a few different apps, and I'll talk about one of the things I'm using for Twitter later on in the show, but that's just a little minor thing. And I did see that one of our great listeners, Stuart, is on the Twitter, though he has posted nothing. So, Stuart, if you're out there, I'm following you. Post something.
He's observing you doing nothing.
But moving on to something a little more Angry Admins-like, the Microsoft Remote Desktop Connection client for the Mac has moved on to Beta 3.
Mm.
And basically, it has some minor improvements. One of the big improvements is they no longer have a nag screen telling you to upgrade to the latest version of the beta that was not available.
Great.
That happened like, I think it was a week or two ago. the current beta timed out, and they didn't have another release ready. So you would click upgrade now, and it would take you to the current release, and there was nothing you could do. You just had to click continue using. So that was kind of annoying.
So it wouldn't let you be in a loop of continuously reinstalling the same software.
Yeah. So it let you keep using it at least. But the remote desktop beta is leaps and bounds above the old remote desktop, the actual current release. The current beta is... even the last beta, but the new one is a little bit nicer. It has a couple improvements like integration with the OS X password manager. So that's nice. You can save some of your login accounts if you so choose into that. We use that. I use that to try out a new access we're testing out for work from home, and it worked pretty well. So if you are a Mac user who manages some Windows servers, this is one easy way to get into those quickly and efficiently.
Nice. So, Joe, what do you think about the Apple stores, the brick and mortar in the mall, whatever?
I find them to be very useful to get my fingers on some of the new products before I would otherwise, which then allows me to talk about them on the show.
Okay.
And that's about all I use them for.
What do you think about it makes it work? Is it the fact that there are people there?
Well... I mean, so a lot of companies have tried this, right? Gateway had their Gateway country stores, and they failed miserably.
Yes.
I think the Apple stores have good locations. I guess what makes it work for me is that to buy a Mac, you really have to understand it. You have to get your hands on it. And the fact that they let people just come in and play for as... I mean, there's no time limit. There's not some Mac guy standing over you saying... hey, you've been on this for an hour, time to get off, or even 10 minutes or whatever. I mean, kids will come in and check their email, and they get kind of used to that. And then they go home and use their Windows machines, and it's like, this is boring.
Right. The reason I ask is because they're thinking about starting Microsoft brick-and-mortar location.
Negative. Epic fail.
Okay, but
okay.
Follow the vision here.
All right. I'm listening.
I'm going to take you on a magical tour of what could be. So here's the thing. You would go to a Microsoft store.
Mm-hmm.
In the store would be computers where you have the Microsoft OS is running. You could try them out. Vista. Okay. Then you got another wall where you got all your Zune type stuff. Mm-hmm.
So the Zune, it's hard to find a store that lets you play with the Zune. So I like that. Okay. Keep going.
Okay. And then maybe a Windows Home Server demo.
Okay. Thing. I'm liking that.
And then, I don't know.
So I guess for me, like Microsoft Store, they could have like Xbox stuff and yeah, it might be useful. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if it was entertainment focused, mm-hmm. so like you've got the Zune stuff, you have all the Xbox accessories,
right?
You have the 360s, you've got the Microsoft games, because Microsoft has its own game studio, so mm-hmm. you've got Microsoft featured games there. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, the Windows Mobile stuff on featured phones, stuff like that.
You know, I guess that's one of Microsoft's problems is they do have some cool stuff like Home Server. How many people who don't look at tech news, which is kind of who it's targeting. It's not targeting someone like us. It's targeting the general user. How many do you think actually know that it even exists?
Probably almost none.
Yeah. And then you've got things like, you know, the media center stuff that, you know, nobody uses because it's a big investment to try it out.
Right. And maybe people don't know how to use it.
Right.
So there's that.
Right. So that'd be my other question. Are they going to do things like the Apple Store where they have classes?
Yeah.
Because that's something that at our Apple Store is always booked. I mean, mm-hmm. there's almost always someone in there learning, you know, learning on these one-on-one classes.
But here's the counterpoints. Brick and mortar, it's traditionally going away.
Right.
Right. Because everything's going, and even they'd even be competing with themselves on some mm-hmm. standpoint with the digital downloads and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
As far as not really competing, but, you know, we're trying to take everything online
mm-hmm.
and suddenly we're rolling back 20 years. Oh, we're going to build a store.
Yeah.
Okay. And two, it just kind of feels like, well, the Apple Store is too popular and we want to compete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, have you ever used gone to the Sony store that we have in town?
I have not.
It's up in the Galleria area and it's very different from the Apple Store. So the Sony store it's all dark. So everything's got like, there's like black walls, black ceiling, black floor.
Like their soul.
But and they've got, you know, Blu-ray and PS3 and all their TVs and phones and stuff. And it feels, you know, I think the Sony store has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sony Experience or Sony's, I don't forget what it's called.
See, I get that.
But they
more.
Don't do tech support.
Yeah.
Like I had a problem with my Sony camera and you can't, like at the Apple store, one of the benefits of the Apple Store is I can walk in with my laptop or my iPod and say, this is broken. I mean, you know, you got to get in the queue. But
right.
To me, that's one of the benefits of the Apple Store because there aren't a lot of, you know, like if you have an HP, you can go to an HP authorized dealer.
Right.
There's not a lot of Apple authorized dealers just around.
Right. And I mentally get, so Apple Store, it works. Mm-hmm. Sony Store, I get that because Sony is into music. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's the Sony record labels. There's Sony Pictures. So all of, like, you know, Spider-Man 3 or whatever is being featured.
Right.
All of their hardware, all of their gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. And I could see this being laid out in one big store where everything's like, here's our music, here's our hardware, here's our games, here's our mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I get that. But I don't know if Microsoft has enough to fill up a store. And I think it would just wind up feeling kind of sad.
Well, here's the other big difference is that when the Apple stores were getting built initially, you could not get Apple stuff anywhere.
Right.
They didn't have it at Best Buy like they do now. They pretty much only had it at CompUSA
right.
and online. And then like a few niche stores around town, you know, in big cities.
True.
And so that was Apple's way of saying, well, we're going to bring it to you if you're in a big city, you know. And they kind of positioned themselves in some of the, I guess I would say, higher income, rich areas, and targeted those people. And it seems to have worked great for them. Whereas Microsoft, you can buy their stuff anywhere. So why do they need a special store when you can, like, you can practically buy Vista from, you know, the newspaper stand?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I applaud their effort to try to do something like this, but I don't know if it would wind up just being laughed at.
They're definitely trying to become hipper, you know. I mean, they're trying to change their image, which I think is needed. And if this helps, you know, go for it. Yeah. They've got the money to try it out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Moving on to the, we have an update on, if you remember the internet cable damage we talked about a while back.
Yes, in the Middle East.
In the Middle East, yeah. It was off the Dubai port. some cables were cut, and it was kind of unknown, you know, what happened, and it was causing some outages and crippled service to India, I guess. So it turns out that it wasn't terrorists. It wasn't, you know, the undersea Aquaman trying to take off the internet because it was threatening him. Because everybody makes fun of Aquaman.
Wasn't Godzilla?
It wasn't Godzilla.
Okay.
Trying to cross the ocean to get to New York. It was actually just a couple ships that dropped anchor in the wrong spot. And they're saying that the ship anchors running along the bottom, along with the jerks and force of the ship, just cut the cables.
I'm not buying it. There has to be a deeper, more insidious plot, man.
Yeah.
I think the ship thing is just a cover-up.
I'm sticking with the Aquaman story.
Okay, like that I can buy.
Yeah, that's realistic, right?
Right. So at least, so this was a firm that was hired to like do an investigation, I think.
Yeah, so this is actually, let's see if I can find out.
And they looked at satellite photos of so where the ships were.
Action was taken, this is from the article, Hindu.com is where this was actually quoted from. Action was taken after Reliance Globalcom provided details of the ships after studying the satellite images of the ship movements around the area of the undersea cable damage. And then the Dubai Port Trust authorities actually took some action and then impounded the ships. So,
interesting. Oops. Well, maybe that was it. I don't know.
So quit dropping anchor on the tubes.
Yes. Learn to
drive. The trucks could not get through.
Because of the boats. Okay, so here's a new thing. The Service Pack 3 for XP, we finally have some official dates of when the stuff is going to actually hit.
Nice.
Let's see. Those dates are, looks like April 29th is the debut. And April, so let's start with the earliest. The 14th, support is available for the release of version Service Pack 3 for XP. Now, on the 21st of April, the OEM's volume license, those folks can get it. The 29th, it'll be available as an option on Microsoft Update. And then I think June 10th is when it's just going to trickle into the automatic updates.
Hmm.
So okay, cool. For most folks, looks like April 29th will be kind of when you can easily go out and grab it.
That's not too far away. A little over a month.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure I'll download this at work on some stuff, maybe.
Yeah, because I don't have it at home anymore.
Yeah, I have Vista, so.
It's Mr. Vista, baby.
So, and to be honest, I don't even have a list of the details of why we want this.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you're gonna want because it's rolled up all the security patches. But other than that, I don't think they're doing anything major like they did with Service Pack 2.
Mm-hmm.
So.
At least, so the good thing will be like all of the previous patches will get rolled up into one thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be nice to have that. So, anyway, those are the dates for that. And I know we've been waiting on that for a while.
Yeah, it seems like that keeps getting delayed. I don't know.
Hopefully,
it's like Microsoft doesn't want people showing interest in XP.
Right. So, hopefully, the XP folks that get this will be more satisfied than I was with Vista SP1.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. More Microsoft news. I don't know if you've been following the OpenOffice XML standard. This is Microsoft's new standard they submitted for approval to the ISO, who kind of is the standardizing board for formats on your computer. Things like the Open Document format is controlled by this governing body, I guess. Okay. I would say. Anyway, this was approved finally for by the ISO members, and so Microsoft's Office Open XML format is now an official standard. And you know, a lot of people didn't want this to happen. They wanted the Open Document format to be the one used, and you know, I personally, I don't really care as long as it's a standard format and that's what people use instead of just having Microsoft in control. The good news on this is now Microsoft is not the only one in control. You know, they still will have a say, but it won't be only their decision. So that means that if Microsoft is really committed to this, like they're claiming they are, the ISO board could say, hey, we're making this change. You need to integrate that into Office, and they will have to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. I mean, Microsoft plus standards usually equals some sort of funny business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you roll back and look at Java or any of that stuff they've done, but maybe this won't be such a big deal.
I mean, the good news here is that, you know, we won't have to constantly wait for people to hack into the doc format to make it useful, you know. Google was one of the big things fighting this, because they don't claim it meets the criteria for a standard. But either way, you know, it will make Google's online doc thing, you know, completely compatible with Word, which is good. I like that.
Gotcha. So, Intel, some news from the giant chip maker. The first quarter profit report stuff is in, and it looks like Intel met expectations. It seems, I mean, I'm not a stock guy, but it seems like even if the expectations weren't very good, as long as you at least meet those. Mm-hmm. So what you don't want to do is you want to be either better than or you want to meet. You don't want to be below expectations, because that's when your stock goes. anyway, so it looks like what's happening is the chip market is really softening because of competition, lessening demand, saturation in the market space, blah, blah, blah. What's happening, though, is Intel is able to offset that with economies of scale, and they're doing new manufacturing techniques which make the chips much cheaper to make.
Okay.
So, you know, in spite of the sales softening, they're able to make the ones that they are selling much cheaper. So that helps them.
Oh, okay.
So they're not getting ruined, you know, by making expensive chips that then don't sell. They can keep selling it cheaper and cheaper to stay at the market rate, and then they can stay ahead of it to keep their profit share going.
Okay.
So this is really good news for people who have Intel stock or folks that care about this. And then it said the report said that AMD is still kind of floundering around. And
yeah, poor AMD. It makes me sad every time I think about that, because I mean I was a big AMD user, and it's too bad to see him kind of floundering and not keeping up with Intel. But what are you gonna do? I mean, I gotta go with what works better, and so that's what I'm doing.
So
Twitter, I'm using it now, and I had some issues accessing it from places that block things like Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get around that is using the secure access, HTTPS. So things like Twitterific, which is a great OS X Twitter app, don't work. So I started looking into some of the things we talked about before on the podcast, like Prism, which is Mozilla's kind of web app. Basically what I'm talking about is it's a single site app,
mm-hmm,
that's using a browser backend.
Okay.
The best one for OS X is Fluid. If you haven't tried this out yet, it's still in beta. Go check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes, mm-hmm, to this, but between Fluid and Prism, which Prism is from Mozilla, Fluid is much better in that it integrates with OS X very well.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot more fine detail control. But they both perform the same solution a problem. The problem is I don't want a bunch of tabs for all these little apps online.
Mm-hmm.
I want more of an app feel.
Okay.
And what these do is they basically give you like a slimmed down browser that has no location bar, no buttons, no back forward kind of thing.
Right.
And they treat the web app as an app almost. So it looks like something like, it's basically a window with the browser window inside it. And it becomes an app in your applications folder on Mac, or same deal on Windows with Prism.
Mm-hmm.
And you can target that app for certain things, like shortcuts or scripting or things like that. But the big bonus is that it you have more control over that site. So, for example, if you don't want to allow pop-ups for that site, or turn off scripting or enable scripting, and it's also faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of overhead with something like Firefox or Safari or whatever, with all the other things they're trying to help you do. And this is sort of like just give me the app, and gives it more of an app feel which has always been kind of my complaint about web apps, is I don't want to be using a browser. I want an app that accesses the web.
Right. Because the browsers can be clunky.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's not quite there yet. You know, it's still, it feels a lot like what, I don't know if you remember me talking about Mailplane, which is another thing like this that was just for Gmail.
Right.
And it did kind of the same thing that used WebKit as its back end, which is what Safari is based on. But so far, I'm pretty happy with it. You know, you can create as many of these as you want. Fluid does some cool things with CoverFlow. Lets you do, if you make a Dig app with it, you can actually CoverFlow through all the links on Dig and see the end sites. That was something they just added. I don't know how useful that really is, but go check it out. It's interesting to see us moving towards kind of what we've talked a lot about web apps and what we think that's going to become. And
yeah, we talked about Google as becoming more of a service provider. Like they're going to build these services that then other people can hook into. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly the kind of thing that would benefit from that.
Right. So. It's pretty interesting. You know, it's not as revolutionary as it could be, but I don't think you'll get it unless you try it. Mm-hmm. So just go download it. It's free. Give it a try.
Nice. So I found a story that came out yesterday. They were talking about Monster Cable, the company that makes the crazy expensive audio video computer cables. They had sued the Blue Jeans cable website, which Blue Jeans, if you don't know about them, they're pretty much like an online wholesaler of all kinds of cables.
Okay, yeah.
So Blue Jeans has some cables that they, it's the Tartan brand, which I guess is kind of their sort of flavor of commercial cable. And basically Monster Cable had sued them a while back saying they were infringing on a number of patents.
Okay.
So what they were not maybe aware of is that the president of Blue Jeans was a lawyer. So we'll have a link to this, but he basically, his whole letter, his whole response letter is on the website that we'll have you a link to, and it is very lawyerific and somewhat humorous. Basically takes him to task about, you know, I think they're quoting patents on like RCA type cables, and he's talking about, you know, look, the last thing I want is my customers confusing my cables with yours because yours suck and they're too expensive, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on to tell them about how the only way my cable is similar to yours is that in the basic functionality of what the cable does.
Right.
So basically, if I'm in violation of the patent, then every other RCA cable manufacturer is in violation. And he just goes on and on and basically just rips them a new one. And he wants them to provide detailed diagrams, pictures, products.
That's awesome.
And so that was pretty cool, though. But he actually goes on to say something that actually happened to me is that I had a Monster Cable, which I'm not proud of. But anyway, so I had it, and it was on the back of my old television. And the thing is so tight, which, you know, that's like a selling point. Oh, this will never fall off. Well, yeah, it doesn't fall off, but you also can't get it off. And so I'm like pulling the Monster Cable off the back of my TV, and it like pulls the RCA connector off the back of the television. I'm like, great, this cable is really what I want. So,
man.
Anyway, we'll have a link to the entire letter. It's pretty good. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand it or to appreciate.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
What he told him, but it's a very long, long response.
Yeah, Monster Cables. I mean, they're just so overpriced. It's ridiculous. And it seems like everybody I talk to knows it. Yet somehow they're still making all kinds of money.
Right. And are they better than average cables? Possibly, but can the average person tell that difference?
No.
And is the difference worth the price increase?
Right, exactly.
That's my problem with it. Anyway, so that's that. We'll have a link to that.
So I missed your Microsoft news this week, which is kind of funny.
That's so wrong.
It is. But apparently Microsoft has completed its buyout of Sidekick Maker Danger. If you don't know what the Sidekick is, T-Mobile is the one who kind of brought those as a big thing. It's the little flip phone, like the screen flips up and you've got the keyboard under there. They're kind of targeted towards teens.
It's like a phone switchblade.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't even know they were buying them out. I must have missed that when that went down. But apparently that has gone through, and they are rolling the new team into a new unit called Premium Mobile Experiences. So a lot of people are wondering, is this going to be you know, is this gonna, we're gonna see a Zune phone from this or some sort of other tie-in like that. And apparently the guy in charge of all this is the former head of the Mac business unit, so he's got some experience with high-end hardware, selling it to business and that kind of thing.
Interesting.
So yeah, I think more competition for the iPhone is a good thing. It'll push it forward, so let's bring it on.
Do you think the Zune is pushing the iPod forward?
No. I think that might have been why Wi-Fi was added so soon.
Oh, okay.
I think that it would have taken longer for them to add it.
Gotcha. So, no, I can see that. I wonder, too, if... So everyone says, oh, this is a horrible time to get into the cell phone market because it's saturated. Everyone's doing it. Actually, folks are starting to drop out, like Motorola's kind of talked about. I think we're going to get out of this.
Right.
But Microsoft, I mean, they have enough money to try and fail at their leisure, basically.
Yeah, although, you know, I keep saying that about them. At some point, it's got to get to a point where they don't have enough to fail at all these things. I mean, they haven't had any big hits in so long. And they keep adding new things to their repertoire that keeps failing. I mean, they just now started making money on the Xbox.
Right.
But I think... How many years has that been out?
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. I think they have so much money that they could stop today making anything new.
Yeah.
They could fire everyone in R&D.
Right.
And probably fire everyone in advertising and marketing. And probably not run out of money for 100 years.
You think so?
No, maybe not 100 years. But you know, but what I'm
for
saying?
A while at least.
Yeah, because it's like the whole world's not just gonna wake up tomorrow and go, man, I'm sick of Microsoft. I mean, that's not gonna happen.
Right.
So I think they have enough money to play around. The trouble is because when they kind of just sort of stick their toe in the water, you know, then the thing that comes out of that usually isn't very good.
Right.
So
yeah. Well, I mean, they've, you know, the Zune, while it's not great, is better than it. I would say better than any of the other iPod competitors. I mean, it's not better than the iPod, but they came out pretty big with that thing out of nowhere. You know, it's weird and it's not quite what I would want, but it's a lot better than like the stupid Sansa or whatever that thing's called.
Yeah. Well, the thing too is that they didn't really try to advertise it much.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How many iPod ads do you see online, right?
Right.
And then, I mean, if your advertising isn't good, you don't want it to be seen. I think they had a lot more print advertising and online.
Yeah. But yeah, they seem to be getting better at their consumer hardware. I mean, the Xbox, the first one, you know, I bought one and it was pretty good, but the Xbox 360, it was leaps and bounds better than that. And in my opinion, is still the best system out there. Maybe not graphically, but in overall experience.
And all the services and what all you can do with it. Right. I would agree with that.
So, you know, they've got the ability to do it. And, you know, they're getting to the car market with the Sync technology, which I haven't seen that actually operate yet, but it looks cool in the commercials anyway.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode of the Angry Admins podcast. If you want links to any of the great stuff we talked about today, feel free to stop by our website at angryadmins.com. And if you need to contact us, feel free to send us an email at, let's see, what is it? feedback@angryadmins.com.
That's it.
I got it right.
Yeah.
So you guys take it easy. And until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.